Hello, and welcome to the Activate Your Life podcast. Each episode features extracts from our sessions and seminars. We pray this message will encourage you on your faith journey and motivate you to share God's love today.
That's the best introduction I've ever had. I get such rudeness from the team. You saw that lovely photograph of me. Then that talk that I gave where I never even looked up, I was just reading. They just don't care. Most people have a sort of discussion about what they're going to talk about and who will do what at an event like this. I just got a letter. You will be talking about living by faith, OK? No, not even OK, but yes, that's what you'll be doing. If I didn't know that they loved me so much, I think I'd leave. But it's a real joy to be with you all this weekend, and I hope you're all relaxing and enjoying the change of the pressure that you're probably under for most of the time. It's lovely, isn't it, just to be able to relax and do something totally different, to meet new people, to meet people that you've seen before and so on. It's very, very important. So I've been asked to talk, as I said, on living by faith. And I realise it's not an easy subject to talk about, but there's a great difference between being faithful and living by faith. We can all be faithful, you know, we say the right things, that people trust us because they know we're faithful to tell the truth and so on. We're faithful because that's the way God wants us to be, to always tell the truth and do the right thing for the right reason and so on. But living by faith can be something totally different, where people actually don't know what God is going to do in their lives, but they feel that God is telling them to do something totally different. I've actually spoken to quite a few people, even this weekend, where God has changed their lives because they suddenly realised that God didn't want them to do that job anymore and wanted them to do something different. And they've had to really seek God for the details of that, to make sure that it's the right thing to do and to go with it. Even if they don't know what the end result will be, can be quite dangerous in people's lives to do something totally different. But if we know that that's where God wants us to be, that's all right, because we know that we can trust him to see our future the way he wants it to be. But it is a very different thing to be living by faith than just to be faithful. And this is where we need to remember that God can use us in different ways. I have a son who went off after he'd done all his school and so on work, and went off to a course on YWAM, Youth with a Mission. Does everybody know that? Youth without any money or young... or young women after men, I think that was the other. And there was he went all over the world with it. It was amazing. He had the most fantastic opportunities. And then he went to Leeds, the base in Norway, and that woman after men got Daniel, and they got married and they had two children. And now those two boys, who are 20 and 22, went into YWAM themselves, and they've been all over the world. They felt that God was leading them there. Now, it was youth without any money. They had to trust God for what they were doing and trusted God that he would see them through, and he has done. And they're sort of in between at the moment. But it's a question of actually knowing that if we're doing what God wants us to do, he will help us to cope with whatever he wants us to cope with. So I'm going to read the verse again from Hebrews. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave his approval to people in days of old because of their faith. In the beginning of faith, the beginning of faith is believing God's character. He is what he says he is. And from this point, we can move on to believing God's promises. That he will do what he says he will do. And when we believe that God will fulfill his promises, even though we don't see the promises materializing yet, we demonstrate our true faith in him because we believe that we're where he wants us to be, doing what he wants us to do. And that is enough. But faith is more than just believing. It's trusting our very lives to what we believe. For example, we could believe that somebody would walk across a deep gorge on a tightrope because we believe that they know how to do it. But supposing God asked us to do that, walk across a deep gorge on a tightrope, but he actually teaches us how to go about it and what the way he wants us to do it in order that we do it in the right way. And faith means faith in God means that we're willing to follow his instructions for living, as we read in the Bible, because we have the conviction that it is the best way for us. Even if we face ridicule or persecution, have any of you faced ridicule or persecution because of the things that you've chosen to do? You can't do that. That's ridiculous. You can't expect to get on with that. That's an impossible situation. You know, some people have parents like that. Some people have teachers like that. It's so important for us to work our way through those things, just knowing that we can trust God with our future, wherever it takes us. I've always said to my children, it's far better to have a go and fail than not to bother and then look back and think, what if and if only. Better to have a go. But if we're trusting God, he knows, because he holds our future. And he knows that we're sincere. He knows that we're real and we don't need to be afraid. So we might face ridicule or persecution for our faith, but we can stand firm because we are sure that we believe what we believe is true and that the Christian way of life is best for us now and eternally, whatever we have to go through or endure. And can anybody put their hands up and say, life has always gone the way we want and I have never had a trouble? No, life isn't like that. And God doesn't expect, he says, in the world you will have trouble. And then he goes on to say, be of good courage, I have overcome the world. Those are the words of Jesus. He's overcome, and we can be overcomers in him. And it brings peace of mind and heart because we know we belong to him and we trust that pain and suffering are not eternal and will one day end. A lot of us go through pain, a lot of us go through suffering, but we know that eternity looms and we're going to be all right. When we live by faith, we're assured of the knowledge that through the power of the Holy Spirit living in us, we have the strength to endure, even though things don't go the way we want or hope, because he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. He is in us. And he is with us all the time. Our faith isn't just for our own peace of mind. We're living out faith, whatever our circumstances, to be an example to the next generation, to give them hope and the wisdom to understand the way to depend on God's grace to see us through, not just by sight, but by trust. So let us be witnesses to the younger generation. Because of the way we live our lives, we can gain confidence from the young people. That's why I think that Miss Activate is such an important part of what we're doing this weekend. Because we are showing the young people that what we've had to cope with in our lives is worth coping with because the end result is wonderful. And we can encourage young people, especially in this day and age when there's so much cynicism about our faith, about faith and religion and so on. And young people will go through it at schools and all those sort of things. But if they know, they see from us that we have weathered those difficult situations, it will give them strength to cope themselves. So we need to be really powerful, good witnesses to the MissActivate team. So what experiences have you had living by faith? There's a lovely story of the missionary, Dr. Helen Rosevear. I don't know if any of you know of her or did know of her. It's written, actually, by Simon Gielbone, and he says, Dr. Helen Rosevear was a missionary in what is now the Democratic Republic of Congo. She tells of a young mother dying at the mission station shortly after having given birth prematurely. The medical staff desperately needed a makeshift incubator for the premature baby, but the only hot water bottle they had, which could have enabled that to happen, had leaked, so it wasn't any good. During team prayers that morning, the children were asked to pray for the baby and her little sister, who was now orphaned. So one young girl prayed, Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today. Tomorrow will be too late because by then the baby will be dead. And, dear Lord, send a doll for the sister so that she won't feel so lonely. Although parcel deliveries were rare, a large parcel did arrive that afternoon. They opened it and were overjoyed to find a hot water bottle. The little girl who had prayed so earnestly pounced on the parcel and rummaged among the contents, exclaiming, If God sent that, I'm sure he's also sent a doll. She was right. A beautiful doll was there in response to the little girl's petition. 5 months earlier, the Sovereign Lord had prompted a group of ladies to pack a parcel of just the right things to arrive on just the right day in just the right place, a remote mission station in Africa, thousands of miles away. What perfect timing. God surely holds the world in his hand.
Amen.
Amen. That's a lovely story. We'd just love to hear stories of that. If any of you have any stories about living in faith, then please, at the end, just think about them, and perhaps we can talk about them at the end. I don't have any sort of experiences that are as amazing as that story, but I have been aware of God's guidance on many occasions. And I'll tell you one or two of them because I think they're just very ordinary, but to me, they were amazing. It was the day after my husband died. He died on Friday. On the Saturday morning, the person who was the chief fundraiser for what became the Lung Cancer Foundation phoned me and she said, Hey, Fiona, you're going to be on GNTV on Monday morning. She said, but don't worry about it. She said, I'll come and stay with you tomorrow night and I'll drive you to the TV station and I'll look after you. So you'll be all right. Okay, bye. She put the phone down. She didn't say, do you feel like it? Are you up to it? Can you cope with it? Have you got the time? Or any of those things. And I panicked and I started to say to God, God, you can't expect me to do that. That was my husband's job. He was the one that was on the television. I was at his home looking after the children. You know, I get my words in a tangle and I get in a mess. Blah, 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 blah. And I was having a go at God of doing this to me one day after my husband had died. And I almost heard an audible voice in the room saying, rise to the challenge. And I said, but God, supposing I mess it up, supposing I make a mess of it. If you make a mess of it, you won't be invited again. And I had to recognize that the reason for my terrible reaction was pride. I was terrified of what people would say about me the next day. But if what I was doing was God's plan,
for something in the future, then I had no right just to say no. Even if it could help one person along the way, it wasn't wasted. And I think that's something that we all need to know, that even if something like that happens, if one person can be helped by something that you say, then it hasn't been wasted, because you don't know how that can go on from one person to the next, or situation to the next. Another thing that happened to me was some lies that were told about me in the press. It was later on, but it was still about the Lung Cancer Foundation. And these lies were going around. Somebody mentioned it on the television, it was on the radio, and it was in the newspapers. And I was panicking. How can I make these people realise that it's a lie, it's not the truth, and da, 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 da. And I was having a go at God again. And God said, I know the truth. You know the truth. The rest doesn't matter. And all these years later, I'm still standing. If people believe that, well, so what? I know the truth. You know the truth. God knows the rest doesn't matter. And we will get things tied up and twisted and so on. It has happened. It happens quite a lot. And a totally different situation, when my son was 15 years old, he fell 40 foot off a cliff onto solid rock on his head by the seaside. And he pretty much broke everything. And I remember taking him into hospital. We was in hospital and going into the emergency situation, and I was having to push his trolley along and just didn't have any hope of him surviving. And all I could do as I was pushing that trolley was to say the words of Job. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it was something that just gave me peace at that time, knowing that God was still in control, even though the worst things were happening. Praise God, he's fine. He survived. It was an amazing experience, because I ran our local church. This was on the Isle of Man. My husband was working there at the time. And I rang our church, and they all started to pray for him. And they sent one of the elders over to the Isle of Man to pray over him. This was 3 days later. He was still in a coma. And they prayed over him, anointed him with oil. And at the end, Daniel looked up and said, Amen. And that was the beginning of his recovery. Praise God. But what I'm saying is that life doesn't always turn out the way we want or expect. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If we know we're living by faith in him, we don't need to be afraid. We can accept things that don't go the way we want. And so one of the things that I feel that we need to do today is to pray for our missionaries, people who are going through really difficult times, persecution, war, the situation in Israel, Gaza, Ukraine, Russia, all of these, Sudan, Yemen, all these places where there is persecution and so on. And we need to just pray to God that he is in control, even in terrible situations like that. Sometimes it makes us feel guilty that we're living comfortable lives, doesn't it? That life can be okay. And we can even complain because things aren't going the way we want. But we need to realize that God gives each of us different lives. We haven't probably been made to go into these places, either in nursing care or whatever it might be. Maybe that's not what God has told us to do. We all have different circumstances and different opportunities wherever we are. And we can feel guilty that our lives are not as useful and as effective as missionaries that we know, or the church leaders, or the selfless volunteers. You know, There are so many people who think, oh, life's so comfortable for me. Oh, dear, oh, dear, what am I meant to be doing? I used to realize that, you know, that guilt can lead to depression and a total lack of self-worth. I felt like that as a young mother. I don't know how many of you are mothers, but I looked around and, oh, the other mothers were so much better and they worked harder and they were more successful and better results and the children were doing better. And, oh, I used to feel such a failure. Does anybody feel that? Did anybody go through those? Oh, there are a few hands going up. That's a lovely thing. But God hadn't made me like any of those mothers. And he gave me the assurance that he loved and accepted me and that I could live by faith in the life he had given me. Does that ring any bell? You have to recognize that we're not all called to be missionaries in these difficult war-torn countries or so on, but he gives us ways to be faithful, to live our lives by faith in our circumstance. And for every single one of you, that will be different because you live in different places, your situations are different, your families are different. They're not wrong, they're not worse, they're not better, they're different because God loves each one of you. And we need to have acceptance of the circumstances in which we're living, not a guilt. That's what he wants to give each one of us. Whatever our background or education or financial situation, he wants you to let go and to know that you are loved. And one of the things I feel I want you to take away with you to tomorrow after this weekend is the assurance of God's love for you. Wherever you are, whatever circumstances you're coming from and going back to, you are loved. You are unique. I don't have gifts like you. You don't have gifts like me because God created us all differently. We're all different. And we need to encourage one another that we are all loved. If we can know that we're loved, we're much more likely to be able to live by faith because we know that God is with us wherever we go. I've got another lovely story that I found it quite a long time ago. You might have heard it. It's all about appreciation. Helen Rosler, a teaching nun, tells of the day her kids were fighting in class. So she made them each take a piece of paper, list the names of all the other students in the class and write something that they liked about each one of them. Then she wrote the name of each student at the top of a fresh sheet of paper, listed all the nice things that all the other students had said about them and gave it to them. As the students read them out in amazement, they said to each other, "I never knew that they felt that way." Helen moved away. But years later, when she came home on vacation, her dad said to her, "The Eklunds called last night to say their son Mark was killed in Vietnam and they'd like you to come to the funeral." After the service, Mark's former classmates gathered in the family home, including Helen, their old teacher. Suddenly Mark's dad said to her, "I'd like to show you something. I found it in my son's wallet." Opening his wallet, he removed the familiar sheet of paper, now yellow and worn, listing all the good things each of his classmates had said about him. Then one by one, smiling sheepishly, all the others opened their purses and wallets and produced theirs too. Helen said, "All I could do was just sit down and cry." What would make a boy carry a 15-year-old piece of paper everywhere he went, even to his death, in a rice paddy halfway around the world? The answer is appreciation. There are people all around you today who are hungry and hurting for it, so make sure you give it to them. It doesn't take much to show appreciation for people. I love it when I go the service stations around the country. I don't do as much travelling by car as I used to, but I used to always look out for the people who cleaned the loos in the ladies' in the service stations and thank them and have a chat with them. And you know, they were always amazed because they're sort of invisible people. Nobody takes any notice of them. God wants us to show appreciation. That's one of the gifts that he's given to every one of us, that we're able to show appreciation. And I think it's something that we need to remember, that ways we can do something that can make a difference to people's lives.
We're taking a short break to say we hope you're enjoying the message and learning something new. If you have any questions or thoughts, please get in touch. Find us on social media or activateyourlife.org.uk. If you'd like to listen in person, we'd love you to join us at one of our events. We run weekends away and Wednesdays full of seminars, worship, food and fun. Now, back to the session.
I wonder what your teachers said of you, school. Oh, she never listens, or she doesn't bother, or she doesn't try hard enough, or this or that. But the trouble is you remember the negatives rather than the positives, don't you? Well, if a teacher's really encouraging and wanting you to do well and telling you that you've improved or you're working so much harder, it makes a huge difference to you. I remember my husband, who was a performer, some of you who wouldn't have a clue who he was, he used to say that he'd have about 8 write-ups about the show he was in that'd be really positive and one negative one. And he said, I wear the negative one on my sleeve all week. And it's true, isn't it? You listen to those things and it puts you down. But you need to know that you're appreciated and you're loved. And it doesn't have to be anything magnificent. It can just be ordinary ways in which we can live by faith. And I've got a lovely list. And in Colossians chapter 3:17, it says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the Bible, names often reflect a person's character, so do something in Jesus' name that means to do it in a way consistent with his character. To do it that way, Jesus himself would. Every moment is an opportunity to live in Jesus' name. All the everyday stuff of life can be filled with his presence, just as you are. Start by thinking about what it would mean to do each of these activities in Jesus' name. Waking up, greeting those first thing in the morning, eating, driving, working outside the home or caring for children, shopping, watching television, doing household tasks, reading, going to sleep. Keep it simple. Focus on Jesus' presence with you as you go through these seemingly inconsequential moments of the day. Keep directing your thoughts back to him. Ask for his help and his guidance, or simply share your heart with him. Wake up. Begin the day with the Lord. It is his day. Rejoice in it. Dress up. Put on a smile. It improves your looks. It says something about your attitude. Shut up. Watch your tongue. Don't gossip. Say nice things, but learn to listen. Stand up. Take a stand for what you believe. Resist evil. Do good. Look up. Open your eyes to the Lord. After all, he is your only saviour. Reach up. Spend time in prayer with adoration, confession and thanksgiving to the Lord. Lift up. Be available to help those in need. Serving, supporting, and sharing. We can do all of those things every day. So often we're in such a hurry we can't even think about it, and we're worrying and we're complaining and we're in a state before we even start the day. In Philippians chapter 4, it says, do not worry about anything, but instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. You do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. It doesn't take much, but it's just a habit that you can begin to form, that you think about him in every set of circumstances in your day. And there's a lovely story that I read about a missionary widow who had 6 children to look after. And she was in, I don't know which country, but she was obviously looking after children. And she adopted another 12 children who were in desperate need and had no food and nothing to, and really no comfort at all. And she took these children on and looked after them and brought them up. And they ended up as really good adults with really good behaviour. And when she was asked how she'd retained her sanity during those really difficult years with all of those children, can you imagine looking after all those children? I looked after 4 and I thought that was too much. Ah! But the one lovely thing she said, when asked how she coped, retaining her sanity, she simply replied that she had prayed, "Lord, I'll do the work and you can do the worrying, okay?" And she said, and it worked. How many hours in a day do we spend worrying about circumstances, some of which never happen? We all know that life doesn't necessarily turn out the way we want or we hope, but worrying and focusing our minds on the negative won't help either. Today, fix your mind on the Lord. Give your fears and anxieties to him so that you can focus on living by faith and know his peace, whatever the circumstances and whatever the outcome, because your future is with him and your faith in him gives you security that nothing else can give you. No money, no fame, no power, any of those things can give you the security that God can give you living by faith in him and not fearing the future, because you know that your future is assured, even though your circumstances might be difficult at this particular time. So does anybody have a little story or an anecdote about how they've lived by faith in different circumstances? Does anybody have any story? Oh, there's one at the back. Do you mind doing the run? Love this.
Just want to give God the glory. Thank you. yes, 2019, my life fell apart. And it's the good, the bad and the ugly of life, basically. And I live rose-coloured glasses. I was 15, 2019, and I like things tidy. That goes there, that goes there, that goes there. Anyway, well, God had another plan. And during that time, I've really had to trust him. We as a family have had to trust him. And you know, you can talk the talk as a Christian, but you know, to walk the walk every day is a totally different thing, isn't it? Life is tough, it's not easy. So I've had to like really hold on tightly. I've had some really good family, church family members who've been fantastic to walk this walk with me. And it's a, all I can say is that My daughter fell pregnant, basically. And as a Christian, you know, whoa, like that. And so we've had to walk through that with her. And basically, though, my son is at another conference, a youth conference today. He went yesterday. We're both at conferences. His conference is for the Society of Protection of the Unborn Child. Now, there's 3 things you can do, isn't there, when you have a child. You can keep them, you can abort them, or you can adopt them. But as women, it's so tough, isn't it? It's so tough. We're shaped if we do, we're shaped if we don't. So anyway, today my son is at that conference, and I never thought 5 years on that he would be doing what he's doing. He's out on the streets, he's talking a complex, difficult subject, but with no judgment, with real love. Because I tell you what, he has walked the walk. We all have. We've all got journeys, haven't we? And I just praise God today, now. I never thought it was going to happen, but he turned something really bad into something that was good. So that Romans 8, 28 is true, all right? Thank you.
Thank you. This is another one here. Right at the front.
Thank you for that. That was very moving. Mine's quite different, but one thing that went through my head as you were talking, Fiona, it's a really lovely quote I've held on to recently that might sort of nurture something for some of you if you're struggling with just little things or really big things. I read it in a book called The Artist's Way. If you like the thought of it, come and talk to me afterwards. And this, the writer says at one point, she says, you know, when you're finding out, I don't know what to do next, and we often, I think, expect so much of ourselves. And she says, God, I'll take care of the quantity. That is, I'm just going to step out each day. I'm going to do my little bit. And you take care of the quality. And I loved that because we know we'll make mistakes. We know we get things wrong, sometimes big time. But actually, God's saying, trust me, take that next step. And you don't know what I'll do with that. So I really loved that. And I kind of wanted just to share it because it felt really pertinent. And one example of that, there's been a few, but one part of my week, I spend time with students with special needs, and I love it, and it's enriching, it's hard work at times, and I do a lot of one-to-one. And I had this boy coming in to see me, and I love seeing someone new. I love the whole, what's he going to be like, what's going to happen, are they going to be up for this, are they going to be really disgruntled? And I couldn't find the resource I wanted. I had all this paperwork about him, and I was really annoyed, and I thought, oh, well, we'll just have to go with this. And he's quite an able lad. And I thought, this is a bit basic. This is a little story pack. I thought, never mind, that's one of my activities. And it's a story where children see an emergency situation and have to call a neighbour and they call the fire brigade. And you've got to just do some interpretation around it. So we did this. And he did it really well and kind of put all this stuff in. I thought, oh, he's fine. This is really, really good stuff. And then, and I always phone parents when I can, I spoke to his mum. I knew nothing of the family setup. And I said, I thought, I've got 5 minutes extra here. I said, I'll just give you an example of how well he did on this task. And I told her this story about these two children seeing a problem, dealing with it, telling the neighbours. And she went completely silent. And then she said, do you know, my son grew up a year ago. So he's about 17, 18 years old. She said, it's this week, a year ago, that he walked in and found his dad had tried to kill himself. And she said, you've just told me that he knows and he's processed that. And it was, I was stunned. I was in tears on the end of the phone talking to this woman I didn't know. I had no idea. That little story was the right thing, but God did. And that was one of those things where I thought I was doing the wrong. I was like, this isn't the best assessment. It was absolutely what the mum certainly needed to hear. And this boy spoke with complete confidence. Yeah, it's just a little but a profound thing.
So, that's lovely. Okay. Thank you. Beautiful story.
I didn't know I was going to say any of this. Of course, just prompted me. One of the things I often say when I introduce myself to people these days is that I live with depression and anxiety. And in a way, that's a bit of fib. About 8 years ago, I had my first really serious episode of depression and anxiety that took me out of work and took me out of life for certainly 6 months, possibly 12 months. And it was actually quite embarrassing because I'd worked in mental health services for a lot of my work life, and I hadn't spotted it at all. Anyway, I was off sick for 6 months. God taught me so much during that 6 months. And he took me back into work and he led me to leave work early in a way so that I could get better and give care to my mum, who was very poorly at the time. And I was doing fine. I was even able to come off medication. About 4 years after that, I had another huge episode, took me out of life again. And I was back on medication, not doing so brilliantly on medication. Still knew that God loved me, even though my feelings didn't tell me that. But I got fed up with it. And I was saying to God, Lord, I'm really fed up with this mental illness because I can't be relied upon to do anything in church. I'll offer to do something and then the flipping depression and anxiety will kick in and I have to withdraw. I'm not reliable. Lord, I'm really fed up with it. And I wasn't very gracious at all about telling him. Then he gave me this picture of Peter walking on the water towards him. And he said to me, I will heal you, but you've got to keep looking to me. Because he gave me the picture of Peter walking on the water. And I thought, yeah, I know that, Lord. But he fell, didn't he? Jesus said, you've got to keep looking to me. And then he said, if you're going to trust me to heal you, you're going to have to stop your medication. Anybody who knows anything about mental illness is the last thing you do is stop your medication on a cold turkey. But I knew that I had to trust God to do that because if I was still taking my medication, where was my trust? So I stopped taking my medication. I didn't have the courage to tell any of the medics that. But I stopped taking the medication. God was faithful and healed me. And then he gave me an opportunity as time went on to kind of confess that I'd stopped the medication. He has since used my recovery to help me share with others, and he's used it in my life. And one of the things that you said in a slightly different way, the only day that really resonated with me, and God keeps telling me, is don't focus on the problem, focus on me. My anxiety can really get in the way and cause me to worry about all sorts of things, but God's still gently just nudging me to trust him and not focus on the problem.
Lovely. Thank you. Oh, the two down there.
This story links, I think, all the others. So for a bit of context, I'm a GP, and when I'm feeling brave, I quite often pray on my 15-minute car journey to work, Lord, please use me today. He loves answering that prayer, I found. The day never goes quite as I'd expect it to. There's always something interesting happens. Anyway, one day, several years ago, I was taking a call from a patient who I knew very well. I knew he was a Christian. He knew I was a Christian. And I hadn't seen him for some time, but he had developed depression very severely, and we didn't know why. He'd gone through all the treatments, all medications, been referred to psychiatrists, been an inpatient in hospital, everything, getting worse. And he was ringing from home, I think, and he was ringing to thank me for looking after him and sort of listening to him. And I thought, he's saying goodbye. And I thought, I don't know what to do here. So I said, God, please help. Tell me what to say. And then I had this, words came into my head. Ask him who he needs to forgive. I thought, can't say that. I had sort of coming up in front of the General Medical Council in my head and sort of, this is completely unprofessional. And anyway, I thought, no, this isn't me. This is God. I've got to go with it. And I'm sharing this just because I think no matter what you do in life, God wants us to bless other people, and he will do it in all sorts of different ways. And this was one of those incidents. And so I stepped out of my comfort boat and I just said, I'm being prompted to ask you who you need to forgive. Is there someone you need to forgive? I think is what I said. And it all went quiet at the other end of the phone. And didn't really say anything other than, thank you, I've got to go now. And I thought, right, that's it. Next thing is going to be the inquest. And anyway, it was several weeks went by and I'd heard nothing. And I'd almost forgotten about it, actually, in the business of work. And then he came to see me. And he was transformed. His depression had gone. He was back to his normal self. And then he told me the story. And it turned out that many years before, he had fallen out with his daughter big time over, she had had a planned pregnancy and had aborted a child, and they'd fallen out and not spoken for years. And the family, there was a huge rift in the family, and he had carried the guilt of that family rift through all these years, and he'd not told anybody. So I had no idea. That God had prompted him to get in touch with his daughter and make amends. The whole family was healed as a result of that. You can imagine what it did to my faith as well.
Thank you. Time for one brief one now.
I'm actually living with lung cancer. And the last 2 years have been quite difficult, but I felt peace throughout that because of the faith of my community behind me and praying for me. And I am convinced that they have lifted me up. The nicest thing about it is the youngsters. I'm a music teacher and I know a lot of the kids in the Sunday school. And they've been, their mums would come up to me and I was having treatment. I've been out of treatment for a year now, but I'm still on tablets and things. And they'd say, well, how are you doing? What's happening? Because so-and-so keeps asking if we can pray for you. Every night they pray for you. And it wasn't just one child, it's about half a dozen of them. And it was just brilliant. It was brilliant as well to be able to tell them that it was in regression and that the, you know, their prayers were working. And the kids' faces were amazing. And just going through the journey with them was brilliant. And, I shared with them when I lost my hair and had a wig on, they were very curious why I didn't have any eyebrows, you know. And so I showed them and they were feeling my head. And it was just nice for them to know, because then they knew what they were praying for.
Wonderful.
And now my hair's come back all curly. They're so proud that their prayers have been answered. So, this is lovely.
Thank you. I think we've got to wind up now, haven't we? Right. Well, thank you for those stories. I'm sure there are many of you
perhaps you can just sit and share stories now. You don't have to go anywhere. But perhaps we should round up now. And I think one of the things I'm going to ask you to do, I don't know whether you have missionaries at your churches, but to pray for those who are living by faith, trusting God for the future, for their circumstances, and also to pray for you to live by faith, knowing that that's the most secure thing that you can do, even when life isn't easy, and you've explained it to us, and I'm really appreciative of that. I wish we could go around from one to the other, but it will be here till tomorrow, wouldn't we? So let's just pray now. Thank you, Lord, for this time together and for us the opportunity to tell stories about ourselves, about our circumstances, and about the way you have shown us how important it is to live by faith. And I pray as we go through this coming days and week, as we leave from here, that, Lord, you'll show us how to live by faith with you, whatever our circumstances, knowing that we can trust you and knowing that you know all about us and that you have created us as unique individuals with different gifts, different opportunities, different ways of life, but that you love each one of us and you want the best for us. So, Lord, help us to submit to that desire of yours to actually be what you want us to be in this world in order that we can make a difference and that more and more people as a result will come to know the Lord Jesus, because we pray it in his powerful, victorious name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Activate Your Life podcast. Visit activateyourlife.org.uk for hundreds more free resources and articles. We've been encouraging women in friendship evangelism since 1965. If you like what you hear, any financial support would be hugely appreciated to keep our charity going for another 60 years. See you again soon.